Well, good morning, West Valley.
Welcome to worship this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Do you know what comes next? We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what we're here to do, because we have a wonderful Savior this morning, and He has it all taken care of, friends, and we worry a lot and we stress a lot. The Lord says, I am with you. I am with you. What more could we want?
Let us pray. We praise you, God, for your unfailing love for us. You overflow with love for us, and with a love so great we cannot begin to fathom it. We praise you for your handiwork in this beautiful creation that surrounds us, and how you have created us in your own image. We praise you for your faithfulness and how you are always there for us when we need you. We praise you for your holiness. We praise you for your grace and mercy that you have shown us, even though we are so undeserving. We thank you, Lord, for all that you give to us. We are grateful for our families and friends and our community at this church that you have blessed us with. Thank you, God, for the freedoms we have in this country, especially the freedom to worship you here. Thank you for the troops who are risking their lives to keep our country safe. Lord, please forgive us for all that we have done to be separated from you, when we have been too busy to spend time with you or too busy to notice what you have been doing in our lives. Forgive us for the times we are too busy to hear your voice. Forgive us for the times we have strayed from you, and forgive us for putting other things ahead of you and not having our priorities straight. We pray for Melanie and her family as they mourn the loss of Melanie's mom. We pray for Nick's family, and thank you that today he is home with the Lord and has a new body with no more suffering. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, thanks that you're here today and that you're concerned with each one of us and that your eye is on small things like sparrows and widows, small copper coins. Lord, help us to receive what you want us to receive in this time, and we give it to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want you to imagine that you are a six-year-old boy and that you love football, as hard as that might be for some of you to imagine. And specifically, you're on the other side of the country here. You love the New York Giants and their big bruising running back, Brandon Jacobs, and this is last year. One day you hear that Brandon Jacobs isn't playing for the Giants anymore. He's playing for some other team on the West Coast, a really weird team, wears different colors, you know, maroon and gold. And you ask your mother to explain, you know, where's my favorite football player? And she tells you that the New York Giants just don't have enough money to keep Brandon Jacobs anymore. So you think to yourself, oh, is that it? Remember, you're 6 years old. Oh, is that it? Money? All that we need to fix this is money? I have money. I'll send it to Brandon Jacobs and everything will be just fine. There was such a six-year-old, and that is why the following letter arrived in Brandon Jacobs' mailbox last year. This is the letter. Dear Mr. Jacobs, my six-year-old son Joseph is a huge New York Giants fan. Last year, he had the opportunity to go to a game, and he just fell in love with the team. He was very sad to learn that you are no longer with the Giants. And when he asked me why you were going to San Francisco, I explained that the Giants did not have enough money to keep you. So in an effort to convince you to return to New York, he wrote the enclosed letter and included all the money for you that he had in his piggy bank, $3.36. And this was the little line here. He said, "Dear Brandon Jacobs, so you could go back to the Giants, here is my money. Love, Joe." Brandon Jacobs' response, he told the press that he just wanted to cry all day. After he got the letter from this little boy, he was fighting back the tears. And he said he might just give Joe an unexpected visit. Now, let me ask you something. Since Brandon Jacobs is a pretty wealthy guy who actually, you know, left to go to the 49ers to make more money, why would $3.36 bring him to tears? It's not the amount, right? That $3.36 brought Brandon Jacobs to tears because it meant that one little boy valued him so much that he gave all that he had to get him to come back so that he could watch him play. Now let me ask you, what if we valued the kingdom of God that much as Joe valued Brandon Jacobs, so that we would give our all to see God at work in people's lives, in our church and in our community? What if we had that mindset, God, I want you to show up for this person or for this program that honors you, and I'm going to go all in for this one. I'm going to pray without ceasing for this. I'm going to give my time, my money, my talent for your kingdom and your work, and I'm not going to hold back. Because just like you were all in for me, Lord, when you went to the cross, I want to be all in for you. Because that's the way this poor widow was. She gave all that she had. She literally put her life on the line. What if we value the things of God that much, that we put our lives on the line for him, that we gave all that we had also to see his purposes accomplished? The world would be a different place, folks, if Christians did that. So the widow's mite, the reason it's called widow's mite, it's the King James translation of the word that Jesus used, but so we're using the widow's mite, but mite wasn't really a technical term for the coins. The widow's mite teaches us to be all in for the kingdom of God. I think that's the first thing we got to remember, because I think when all is said and done in this life, I think the question God will ask about our giving at the end of it all is not going to be about the dollars and cents amount that you threw my way, but rather God's going to ask us, where was your heart? Where were your priorities? What was most important for you in your life? What did you think about the most? What occupied your thoughts? How did you spend your time? Did you value me the most in your life? Did you value the work of my kingdom first and foremost? Did you throw your heart into giving your all? I think it moves God when we give from a heart of gratitude that says, Lord, I value you so much, and I value your work. I want to see you show up in the lives of people I love and in my own life, and I will give everything I have to see that accomplished to that end. We say following you, Lord, isn't something I do out of guilt or a side activity or for social reasons. I'm not coming to church just for social reasons. Or I don't just give to you, Lord, when I need you to do something for me. No, Lord, I value you first above all else, and I want to live valuing you first every day. And when we live our lives in such a way, that's when God starts showing up. I got to go to Hawaiian Islands Ministries in March, and there was a woman there named Vera who worked with rescuing young women who were victims of sex trafficking. We usually think of Hawaii as a wonderful place to go, but actually on Oahu, sex trafficking is a huge industry, and that's right where Vera worked. And before she got involved in this ministry, she was kind of a lukewarm Christian, but through a series of amazing events that I don't have time to share with you, Vera knew the Lord wanted her to start doing something about this sex trafficking problem there in Oahu. She felt this call, and yet she was reluctant because she knew it would take everything she had to do this ministry and to turn this around. It would change her life as she knew it. She would have to give her life over to this ministry completely. But it was such a clear call. She finally gave in to this. She started hanging out on the street corners, talking to the girls who came there. And over time, she developed two safe houses. And when those filled up, she even took some of them into her own home. And by the time Vera spoke to us at that conference, she had literally saved scores of young women's lives. And she said this. She said, when you live in a way that is all in for the purposes of God and you pray for something that you yourself are sacrificing for in your own faith, that you're invested in and you're doing in faith, it is amazing how the prayers are answered. I have prayed for these girls, and time and again God has met their needs, given us the financial resources we need, and showed up in miraculous ways. You know, maybe you're thinking, that's very nice, but I am old and worn out. Or maybe I have my own problems to deal with. I can't survive unless I work in a thankless job, maybe. Or I have health problems, relationship problems, I don't have time. And I haven't felt a call like that. So the second thing the widows might teaches us is this. God majors in a big way in small things. God majors in a big way in small things. I don't know if you ever noticed in Scripture how much God likes small things, like sparrows that Bob sang about, and little children no one else had time for, and little mustard seeds, right? And a boy's lunch that gets multiplied to feed 5,000. And then you got these widows, the widow's mite. Jesus celebrated all these little tiny insignificant things that most people didn't think were all that important. Like I said, sometimes we might not feel like we are all that important either in the work of God. We may not feel like we have a whole lot to offer. As I said too, we may feel tired and burnt out or insignificant in terms of making a difference for the Lord. We might feel poor in spirit or restricted in terms of our income or our time. You know, you may not have that much energy at the end of each day. And I know a lot of Christians feel guilty that they can't do more. But what you got to know is this. When you give whatever you can with gratitude out of love for God, God multiplies it and uses it for His glory. He is a great multiplier of small things. And just to emphasize how small this widow's coins were, I'm going to pass this around to you, and I'm going to start down here and just, you know, try to get it through while I'm talking. I ordered this in the mail. These are actually the mites, but that's the wrong word. They're leftovers, all right? This is all that the widow had, and she put these into the offering that morning. I'm going to start with the theme. Keep it going around, all right? And then the back of the cross of the aisle. I ordered them for $39 in the mail when I got them, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. I could have made these up. I could have made them out of tinfoil or something. But these were the smallest currencies that were available at that time, and they really didn't have any value of themselves unless they were with other coins. Crudely made. Teeny tiny. Those things are the size of a pencil eraser. So, so small. And this widow was in the court of women, which was part of the temple. And the court of women didn't mean that only women could be in there, because obviously Jesus was in there watching her put it into the offering. But it meant that women couldn't get beyond that point, okay? That's what the court of women meant. And you got to understand, the temple is this center for business, this building that held opulence. And there were 11 offerings that were, people would put in huge amount of money into these big horn-like structures that went into a box. And it was kind of like a dedicated account, like we have in our budget. A box would go for wood, and another box would go for frankincense, and another box would go for myrrh. And you're in this big courtyard, and people are putting tons of money. And it was pretty intimidating. It was kind of a status symbol, too, as you were in the temple. Oh, how much is that person giving? Oh, let's look over here and look at this, what this person's giving, all right? beautiful center of industry and business. And then you have these two little coins that are coming around. 1/8 of our penny, actually, is the value of them. Cheap little pieces of bronze, extremely common. And the widow had two of them, and that's all that she had in the world. And, you know, just think about it. She could have felt really out of place, right, that day. She could have felt intimidated or self-conscious. She could have decided to give nothing just so she wouldn't embarrass herself or feel insignificant. But 2,000 years plus later, who are we remembering today? Who are we remembering? The widow who gave these two leptons. Jesus notices her. Jesus notices her. He points her out. He celebrates her gift over all the others in teaching his disciple. The smallest, poorest gift of all we are talking about today in the Bay Area, 2013, which is one of the wealthiest places in the nation. In this environment, in the Bay Area, it's kind of like that temple. Our priorities can get pretty messed up. Someone once defined ego, E-G-O, edging God out, you know. There's a lot of edging God out in the Bay Area. But there's a widow. There was a widow long ago who gave all that she had. And we are thinking about her today because the widow's heart was all for God. And we need to remember what that means today. Because what seems like a meager offering on the outside was the largest offering of all from Jesus' perspective. Because, as we said, she gave all she had. So what about your heart today? Where is it? Because this story is about the heart. It's about what we value. It's about what matters most for us, about how we are meant to live our lives dedicated to the cause of Christ, about how we're meant to trust God with whatever we are able to give to him today, no matter how small or significant it may seem. Because God majors in small in a big way when we give with a big heart of love for him. Don't forget, Jesus always worked with something that someone gave to him, like the kid who gave his lunch. It was just a few loaves and a few fish. Jesus needed that in order to multiply it. So don't not give because you think what you have to give is not significant. When you put it in Jesus' hands, he multiplies and he does more with small than you have any idea of. Today you may be tired and worn out, but maybe when you get home, you could call one of our shut-ins. Remind them that Jesus loves them. You may be dealing with financial problems and you can't give money, but maybe, as Matt said, you could volunteer an hour with our crash zone junior high kids. There's a plea for more volunteers in the program this morning. Who knows? 1 hour could change a kid's life. You may not have a lot of Bible knowledge, but maybe giving an hour of your time to attend the Tuesday night Bible study for women or men would be a widow's mite way to grow in your faith. I had a friend who didn't have much money or time to spare. He had a busy life and he couldn't volunteer much in his church, but he was touched by the plight of the poor in Haiti and he decided to spend some time praying about what he could do to make a small difference. He said, "Lord, I don't have much time to spare and I'm tired at the end of the day. I'm exhausted at night. How can I make a difference for you?" And the Lord gave him an idea. He started a ministry by simply asking the people in his church to save their pennies. And he called the ministry Pennies from Heaven. And as each member of that congregation saved their widow's mites, thousands of dollars were raised to help alleviate poverty there. And that ministry is still going on. What do you have to give today? What has God put on your heart? Don't hold back because you think you aren't worthy or because you think it won't be good enough. That what you have to give won't matter. It all matters. Everything given with gratitude and faith in God will be multiplied. And finally, the widow's mite teaches us to trust God. We don't know for sure, but my hunch is that after the widow put those two leptons in that offering, her needs were provided for because this story harkens back to an Old Testament story where a widow was provided for by the prophet Elijah after she had given to that prophet a room to stay in. Now, I had this game I played with the kids when they were smaller. We're kind of still at it, and I've done it to illustrate to them the value of giving. And I know this will sound a little bit weird to some of you, but let's say when I gave some money to a certain cause, I would let them know, and I would say to them, let's watch how we cannot possibly outgive the Lord. I'd say that to them. Watch the money that we give out come back in some way, shape, or form. And then when the amount of money, and often it was the exact amount, like if we gave $100, $100 would come back in some weird way, you know, I'd point it out to them, and the kids would say, okay, Mom, give more, and see if God will bring that back. Or they'd say, I want to try it. Give me a chance. And we'd do it again, and we'd wait and we'd watch, and it's become kind of this cool experiment that we're still doing from time to time. God continues to return the favor. The truth is, whatever we give ends up coming back as a blessing to us. I had an elder once on our session in another church who kept saying, when you don't give, you cheat yourself out of a blessing. And he was right on. Well, we can't outgive God. So when we talk of someone doing anything for God, ultimately the truth is we can't really give God anything that doesn't belong to him anyway. I don't know if you ever had the experience where your kids or your grandkids come up to you and they say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, can I have $5 so I can buy you a present? And of course you appreciate the present when you get it, but only an idiot would think they were $5 richer because of it. C.S. Lewis says the following. He says, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment is given to you by God. When someone has made this discovery, God can really get to work. It is after this that real life begins. The person's now awake. And I think that day when Jesus sat and watched all the people putting their large sums of money into the treasury, and then he watched the poor widow putting in her two lepton, all that she had in the world, I think he might have thought, this widow is wide awake. She has given everything she has because she knows it's not hers to keep anyway. It all belongs to the Lord who gives us all things. She's just surrendering it back to the rightful owner to be used for his glory. So if we have the God who is the owner of all that we claim is ours, if we have him as our first value, if we are all out for the Lord, what's to keep us from living lives of extravagant generosity in terms of time, talent, and treasure? Because it all belongs to him. And he's entrusted us with certain resources to use for his glory. Give in Jesus' name, just like the widow who was all out for God, and know that your might, M-I-T-E, no matter how small, is mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y, when you put it in the hands of God. I want to close with a story about a missionary who is in Kenya. He preached to a very poor congregation about the value of giving of their time and talent, because he knew most of them didn't have any money, and the people came and brought their offerings that day after he spoke, and most of it was in the form of melon. They put it on the altar or a corn. And among the congregation was a woman named Pearl, and Pearl had just come to know Christ recently. Her conversion was pretty new, and before she came to know Christ, she'd been pretty much a professional thief. She had stolen a lot, and the missionary knew that morning that she couldn't give anything because she didn't have any way to make a living because she had stopped stealing once she met the Lord. And she didn't bring anything up, and he didn't expect her to bring anything up that day, and other people bring up their melons and corn and everything else. But the following Sunday, at the end of the service, she left at the altar some currency, which for us would have been about $20, and that was a huge amount for that community. And when the missionary saw her do this, he was on the other side of the room cleaning up, and he thought, oh, no. She's gone back to stealing again. I'm going to have to talk to her. So he took her aside, and he had the money in his hand, and he said, Pearl, where did you get this money? And he braced himself for her answer because, he was afraid that he would have to tell her that the money needed to be returned to its rightful owner. Instead, she looked at him with a great big grin and said, it's okay. I heard your sermon last week about how there is no greater thing than to give to our Lord. So I went to a landowner and told him I would work in his fields for the rest of my life if he would pay me this amount. He did, and I'm bringing this back to Jesus today. It's the only honest money I've ever had, and I got it by giving my life away. Because Jesus gave his life away for me, I've never felt so happy as I do right now. This money belongs to Jesus. Talk about valuing God first and foremost. Talk about giving our all for the things of God. Where's your heart today? Go out now in peace. Have courage. Hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.